I've called this weekend The Alchemy of Happiness. And, you know, here at Padmaloka, we plan our program, you know, ages in advance, a year in advance. I don't like doing it, quite honestly. I wish we could live in a world of complete spontaneity. I must admit, I think I'd function much better in a world like that, where you didn't have, you know, to decide what you're going to do years in advance. You know, I'd love to be able to say, to just ring up a Buddhist centre and say, how would you like a talk tomorrow on this subject, because I feel in a mood to give it. Well, it could never happen. They'd say, well, we've got, you know, we've got a course going on then. You know, it's you know, this is the tyranny of you know, the temporal world, which I was talking with Simon earlier today, kind of a capitalist tyranny we both feel. But anyway, enough of that. I'm going off on one. But nonetheless, I came out with this phrase, The Alchemy of Happiness. And I think it's a great title. Actually, it's a title of an Islamic text by Al-Ghazali. But again, that's an aside. Alchemy is sometimes called the great work, or just the work. In the alchemical tradition, which is found in traditions all over the world, the great work is the work of transformation. It's the work of transforming, certainly in the Indian tradition, copper, an ordinary metal, into gold. That's the great work. Or discovering and kind of cooking up out of ordinary elements the elixir of immortality. It's a very rich symbolism, the whole world and realm of alchemy. But the fundamental idea is that of transformation, of transforming the elements of ordinary experience into something extraordinary. In Indian alchemy, quicksilver, mercury, is the agent of transformation. It's applied to copper, and when it's applied to copper and when it undergoes all kinds of work, which is applied by the alchemist Yogi, it produces endless amounts of gold. This is the tradition. And Shantideva was obviously well aware of this alchemical tradition, because in the first chapter of the Bodhicharyavatara we find this verse, which comes just a few verses after the ones I've already quoted and commented upon. It goes like this. This is verse 10. Having taken this impure form, the bodhicitta transforms it into the priceless form of the Buddha. So, hold fast to this precious gold-making quicksilver elixir known as the bodhicitta, which must be thoroughly worked. So hold fast to this quicksilver elixir known as the bodhicitta, which must be thoroughly worked. For Shantideva, the agent of transformation, the quicksilver, the mercury that works the change, the elixir that reveals not only meaning, but everything good and valuable in the world, is called bodhicitta. This is a Sanskrit word. Chitta means heart and mind, that sort of thing. Bodhi means enlightenment or awakening. Bodhi stands for the Buddha's enlightenment, the Buddha's awakening. So it can be translated, bodhicitta, as the awakening mind or the awakening heart. It's the mind, the heart, that is intent on seeing things as they are, seeing reality as it is, perfectly conjoined with love and compassion. This is what bodhicitta is. It's the heart, the mind, that is trying to see the truth, trying to gain enlightenment, but trying to gain enlightenment for the benefit of all beings. It's, in other words, a mind of both wisdom and loving kindness, perfectly conjoined. When this mind, this heart, is generated, we embark on the great work of transformation, of transforming this ordinary human form into the form of a Buddha.